And you know, so immediately God put in his into place a plan to redeem mankind from sin and to bring us into intimacy again. He's such a lover. He's such a lover. Sometimes we can get so focused on being part of the army of God, we forget we're first part of the family of God. He doesn't use his kids. We partner with him in the family business. You're not a soldier. I mean, I know you are. I like that symbolic language, you know, I love that. But you're first a daughter, a son. You're part of the family. So Jesus had to come. He had to be the perfect sacrifice to deal with sin. But that wasn't the end of, that didn't complete the intimacy. It wasn't complete till we had the same Spirit abiding in us that abided in Christ and that abides with the Father. It wasn't complete until he was able to fill the temple with his glory. Do you remember Solomon's temple? You know, David spent his entire life laying all the provisions aside so that his son could build a house for God. Oh, man. And then Solomon builds the tabernacle. I mean, it was miraculous. It was amazing. It was beautiful. It was by, you know, earthly standards. It was gorgeous. I've been to a few pretty buildings. We have ministry. We minister maybe once a year in Europe or so. I mean, the Palace of Versailles, gorgeous. The Notre Dame Cathedral, beautiful. The Vatican, I mean, there are some really beautiful buildings out there. But this building was extravagant. And when the Queen of Sheba came and looked at it, she was pretty rich. When she came, she was like, whoa, there's never been a temple to any god like this. And when they dedicated it, and they were making the thousands of animal sacrifices, like dedicating the temple, it says fire fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifices, and the whoosh, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And it says no one could stand to minister even. Whoa. I mean, like on their face, glory of God came in. That was a picture of what happened on Pentecost for every single redeemed believer. We say yes to Jesus and whoo, the Spirit fills the temple. Whoa. And sin can't stand in the temple anymore. It has to bow at the name of Jesus, at the Spirit. And all of a sudden, power fills the temple. And we can do things like lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Wow. But you know what? You won't walk as a gloriously filled temple if you don't believe that you're a gloriously filled temple. And some of us walk around like we're poverty and have nothing. Are you kidding? You are filled with the very glory of God himself. The Spirit came to dwell inside of you so that you could be convicted from sin. Amen. So that you could overcome sin and live in righteousness. Never could that be done prior. Do you know there's no sin. It doesn't matter. If you've been steeped in a certain sin since you were a little child, there is no sin that can stand before the power of God in you. You have to have faith to believe that. There's no sin cycle. There's no victim cycle. There's no spirit of poverty that can exalt itself against the name of Christ, against the Spirit of the Lord in you. The Holy Spirit came to empower you. He made lions out of little chickens. Some of us forget that we have the lion in us. And we walk around scared. I get it. I fell into fear before too. And I'm like, Lord, cast out that spirit of chicken again. I'm like, I'm not taking it. I got the lion. Amen. I don't want to be, you know, pecking around in the dirt. I got the lion of the tribe of Jesus, of the Judah, Jesus, roaring inside of me. Please let me out. Please let me out. And Peter, who, what, 50 days earlier, he couldn't even stand up to a servant girl when she said, aren't you a follower of Jesus? No, I don't know him. I don't know him. He was scared. It was intimidating times. He didn't want to end up on that same cross, getting that same beating. It was scary. But when the Spirit came, the lion came out. All of a sudden, he had something that was beyond himself. He had a lot of inner strength just on his own. Peter, you know, took out his sword, cut off the servant's ear when they came to arrest Jesus. He had some gumption. He had some sincere oomph to him. But it was him. It wasn't the Spirit. And it only could go so far. Each of us, we only have so much of our own strength. Some of us are stronger than others as far as personality and just, you know, just the inner go. But your inner go can't take you where you need to go. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the lion roaring on the inside of you to be let out. Holy Spirit came to make you bold. And I don't care if you're an introvert, if you're like, I don't know, you were born timid. This isn't about who's loud and who's quiet. It's really not about personality. It's about who lives in you. God uses who he chooses. If he redeems you and fills you with the mighty Holy Spirit, that's it. You got the Holy Spirit. You got the Spirit of the living God, God himself inside of you roaring. You just have to let him out. The Holy Spirit came to, I touched on this, to help us overcome sin and live righteously. The Holy Spirit came to give us spiritual gifts. This is something that I have been thinking about and mulling over with the Lord for months, actually probably starting last fall. I felt like the Spirit would say, I want to release the gifts in the fullness at JRC. And I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I have prayed this prayer for years. Lord, let every gift of the Holy Spirit be present, and not just present and being used. Oh, don't bury what God gives you, right? We can't bury it. He paid too high of a price to give you a special gift. It's too valuable. It's too valuable not to use. But literally, Jesus died. He sent the Spirit. The Spirit indwells in you to give you gifts. And you know what? I probably preached a sermon on this probably about 5 weeks ago. If you missed it, go back. I think it was April 19th or something. It's called Opening God's Gift Box. It's kind of an introductory message into the gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you, if you're a born-again believer, you have been given a gift of the Holy Spirit, every single believer. It's surprising how many people will be like, I don't think I have a gift. No, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have at least one gift. Now, what is the gift for? To serve the body. To serve each other. To serve the world. That's why he gives the gifts. Not to make you feel good, although I think they do. Actually, they make you feel great. But they are not for that reason. They are so that you can be mighty in God to serve. Because the greatest is the greatest servant, right? The greatest is the greatest servant. I wanted to read something about that, but I just lost it. It says a spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Do you know you have something to give to the body of Christ? If you are born again and you're like, I don't know what my purpose is, you need to start asking the Lord. You have something that possibly no one else in the room has. Because not every believer has every gift. He makes sure that he distributes them. It says specifically in verse 11, it's the one and only Spirit who distributes all the gifts, and he alone decides which gift each person should have. You know what? He's not going to give one person all the gifts. He's not going to give me all the gifts and just say, Autumn, you don't need the rest of the world. You don't need your fellow brothers and sisters. You just have it all. He will make sure I have gaping needs in my life, things that I can't do on my own that I need other people for. Holy Spirit came, has come, lives inside of you to operate through you using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to name some of the gifts. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation and encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy. I was just actually yesterday just preparing this message, and I was praising God for the gift of mercy that Loretta carries. I was just like, Lord, thank you. Such a mercy gift on her. She just wants to mother the hurting and just take in people and love on them, and so much mercy. It's beautiful. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith. I always felt like Josh had that gift. The gift of healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, the gift of the apostle, the gift of helps, the gift of administration, the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the pastor, the gift of celibacy, the gift of missionary, and the gift of hospitality. And maybe a few more, but that's a good list to start with. If you're like, I have no idea, start going over that list and asking, Holy Spirit, have you given me any of these? He lives inside of you to get out of you. Holy Spirit lives in you literally for the purpose of being released through you. One of the reasons. And these gifts of the Holy Spirit are actually one of the ways he is released through you to the world. They are the power tools of the kingdom. Do you know you could build an entire house with a hammer? Yeah, with a hammer and a handsaw. You pretty much could build an entire house with a hammer and a handsaw. How many of you, though, would rather step into the world of power tools? Right? You know, I feel like our whole life changed a few years ago when we bought Malachi a really great drill. We always had really crummy little, you know, screwdriver power drills that never worked. And Malachi was kind of interested in tools. I'm like, let's get him a DeWalt, I think it is the name brand, like a really nice one, you know. Anyway, do you know it could take me 20 minutes to hang a curtain prior to this with a screwdriver and, you know, the level. And then you hit a stud and you're like, shoot, I should just move the curtain. I'll just move it rather than like try to get through that stud with a screwdriver. And then you get this power tool. Zink, 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 zink. I mean, 5 minutes tops and your little project's done. The gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives you are the power tools of the kingdom to build his house with. You know, doing things without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit's gifts, very painful. Very laborious in wrong ways. You know, Jeff and I, because we ministered in Paris several times, we've seen the cathedral, Notre Dame Cathedral, multiple times. Really beautiful cathedral. Notre Dame was built over the course of 1,000 years. It took 1,000 years to complete the Notre Dame Cathedral. It's very interesting history. There's actually like on the bottom and the medium and the top, you can see the different eras of like how architecture had evolved. You know, from one architectural time frame to the Gothic time frame to the, you know, on and on. I can't tell it all to you. Anyway, well, what tools did they have? I mean, it takes a long time to chisel out a rock with a chisel and a hammer, right? And to build like amazing, intricate designs without any power tools. But in God's family, everybody gets a power tool, at least one. And together, when we use them, we can really accomplish something amazing. Because one person has the table saw, but the other person has the power, the drill. And the other person has the air gun, you know, the nail gun. No, into the wood, boys, into the wood. They're just too fun to aim, aren't they? And to shoot off. Yeah, I've been around that. Oh, Lord, I love you. And so one of the gifts that the Spirit has given is the gift of prophecy. I want to talk about it for a few minutes this morning. One thing I want to bring out is the Holy Spirit came so we could all prophesy. I want to show that to you. Now, not all of us will have the gift of prophecy, just like not everybody has the gift of healing. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit lives in you so that every single person can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But some people have the special gift of healing. Guess what? They probably see it more. They also might have ministries that kind of end up coming around them, having to do with healing. I think of Rose Roth. Many of you know her. She's such an obvious gift of healing on her life. She was laying hands on people and praying prayers and seeing them healed when she was in the American Lutheran Church and never even really heard it taught on. Love them. She just had the gift from the Holy Spirit of healing. Kind of everywhere she goes, that ministry comes to her. You know, she has that a special gift. But every single believer in Christ can lay their hands on people and see them well, right? Same with the gift of prophecy. Every single believer can hear. The Holy Spirit, one of the reasons he came, remember, was to restore the fellowship. He came to open ears and open eyes. When he comes inside of you, you can see things you couldn't see before. You can hear things you can't hear before. It's like a whole new world is opened up to you. I want to read Acts chapter 2. This is the Holy Spirit has descended in the upper room. And all of Jerusalem comes running because they're hearing mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire. Oh, God, could you just do it right now? Just you preach the sermon. I mean, if you came on with the tongues of fire, I don't need to say another thing, right? I mean, we're just on the floor before the Lord. He's preaching his own sermon. Seriously, seriously. Give us a fresh move. So there's this mighty rushing wind. It's so loud, the city can hear. Tongues of fire, which probably angels, because he makes his angels like flames of fire, are like whoosh, filling the place. And praise erupts in like languages upon languages upon languages. Oh, God loves the nations. He loves the worship of the nations. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, the Lakota people group, the African nations. The Hispanic, maybe especially the Hispanic. Oh, there's something about when they pray, I love you, Anna. Each nation carries, I think, a special glory on it, honestly, a reflection of his being, his character. They worship him in unique ways. And here, all these different languages are erupting and coming through people. They never learned these languages, and they're just praising God. And it happens to be on the Feast of Pentecost. And so Jerusalem is filled with visitors from the nations of the earth, all different tongues and tribes in one place, coming to the temple, not yet realizing that they could be the temple, coming to the temple to give their sacrifices, and all of a sudden they're hearing wind and seeing fire, and all of a sudden they're hearing God being praised in their language. My goodness, that person is speaking my language with perfect accent. I could hear them perfectly. How would they know Greek? How would they possibly know? I'm sorry, guys, I don't know enough languages. Probably not German. I was going to say, I don't think there were any Germans there. It was probably a Middle Eastern thing, but and so Peter, who was once timid, now has the lion inside of him. Holy Spirit's come. He's got to let it out. And he stands up and he says, this is what Joel spoke of. And he quotes Joel chapter 2. And it says, it's Acts chapter 2, 17 through 18. This is his passage he preaches on to the, I don't know, thousands, 5,000 at least that were there. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. First of all, we're in the last days because we have the spirit. Praise God. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. They will all prophesy. Holy Spirit came, so like the water level just rose across the whole earth among the believers of God. Everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to hear. Everyone, it doesn't, it no longer just comes through one leader, the word of God coming through one prophet to the people, and the people then have to respond. And no, he says, I want all my people to hear my voice. I want them to have visions, to have dreams. Isn't that interesting? The sign the Holy Spirit has come is that you hear his voice. You have visions, you have dreams, you're able to hear his voice. That's evidence that you have the Spirit. We have to take these things so serious. When God gives you a dream, cherish it. He's speaking to you. Proof that you have the Spirit in you. John 10, 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. There's just some of you that you just need this lie broken off of you that you somehow can't hear God. I just don't hear him. I just don't hear him. Now, you may not hear him like your friend hears him. But you, if you belong to Christ, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you need to renew your mind today. You are capable of hearing God and being led by the Holy Spirit in life. You are not a rat in a maze. The Holy Spirit lifted you out of the maze. Literally, he lifted you out, that rat in the maze, you know, and it's just looking for the cheese, always just, oh, no, not this way. Now I turn. Nope, dead end. No. Where's the cheese? Where's the cheese? And Holy Spirit just took us, and he says, let me lift you up with Christ in heavenly places, above all rule and power and dominion and all this gunk of the earth. It's pretty dark there and there. I get it. Let me lift you up in the Spirit so you have eyes to see what I see, ears to hear what I hear. I'm able, the Holy Spirit is able to elevate you. You may be in very bad situation, very dark days, confusing times, but we are elevated by the Holy Spirit. He literally lifts us up. He gives us eyes to see, ears to hear. He says, I'll give you a dream. I'll give you a vision about that. I'll speak to you. I'll take my word and make it the now word, right? Where we're reading the Bible and all of a sudden whoo, comes alive and we're like, that's my word right now. Romans 8:14 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, you should be led by the Spirit. You are capable of being led by the Holy Spirit if we will learn to lean. If we'll learn to tune in. We'll learn to lean on him, to lean on him. It's that poverty spirit, Matthew chapter 5, that we've been talking about, and where it says, I need you, I need you. I have you, I'm mighty, but I need you, I need you. It's that learning to lean, learning to depend, learning how to put to death a self-reliant spirit. Learning to put to death the self-made man, leaning on God for the God-made man to come forth. There's something I think really special about the spiritual gift of prophecy. Every gift is special. The Lord's clear. Every time he talks about the gifts of the Spirit, he says every single gift is precious. It's needed. It's like the body. Do you want to just live without your arm? No. Do you want to live without your eyes? Could you survive? Yes, but is it pleasant? No, right? We value every part of the body. Every gift is precious, special, to be cherished. There should never be any envying of someone else's gift. That's just ridiculous. The Lord gave you something special. He gave you something unique. Grab a hold of it. And we should cherish every single gift. And I want us in this church to cherish the gift of prophecy. We should never despise prophecy. Now, we should discern prophecy, right? Always discern prophecy. You take someone gives you a prophetic word, you take it and you hold it up against God's word in love and kindness and sweetness. You know, you don't want someone trembling. It's the first time I've ever prophesied. I feel like I have a word for you. And you're like, let me discern it. Ooh, that'll be the last time that girl ever steps out to give a word, right? No, we discern it. We take it before the Lord. We judge it according to the Bible. We say, God, you know, Holy Spirit, give me the quickening. Is it from you? Is it for now? Do I shelf it? Is it just, you know, someone trying to be, you know, trying to operate and practice something and got it wrong? That's okay too. We got to practice things or else we never get good at them, all things. So, but I want to just give you a few things about the prophetic gift. I feel like we want to cherish that gift here. It's a really special gift. And the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, chapter 12, 13, and 14 are all talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we thought that chapter 13 was just the love chapter. It is the love chapter, starting in chapter 12 about the gifts of the Spirit, in chapter 14 about the gifts of the Spirit. And then he sticks the love chapter right in the middle and says, all these spiritual gifts, they got to operate in love. And this is what love looks like. Yes. And so going into chapter 14, verse 1, it says, let love be your highest goal when using spiritual gifts. And now I'm going to just say, when using the gift of prophecy, when trying to hear the Lord and share it with somebody else, let love be your highest goal. If you can't do it in love, it's not successful. Let love be your highest goal. But you also should desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives. And then this is interesting, especially the gift, the ability to prophesy. Especially the gift of prophecy. So there's something about prophecy that is so meaningful to the body of Christ that he says, I want you to desire this gift. It's okay to desire spiritual gifts, first of all, right? We just receive what the Lord has given, but also it's okay to desire a spiritual gift. Probably it's him putting that desire in you. You're like, oh, I don't know that I have the gift of healing, but I so desire it. Ask him. He told you to desire the gifts. You can just say, God, I really want the gift of healing. Oh, I just really want to be used to help people who are hurting in this way. And just let that desire come out before the Lord. Maybe he's asking you to ask him through that desire. But he says, especially desire the ability to prophesy. And then it goes on, the one who prophesies, this is what they do. They strengthen others, they encourage others, and they comfort them. A person who speaks in tongues strengthens themselves personally, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. There is something so strengthening about the gift of prophecy when used in love. It goes on in this passage. I mean, every single verse is amazing, but it kind of sums it up in verse 12. Seek those gifts that will strengthen the whole church. Speaking about the gift of prophecy. Why is the prophetic gift great? Every gift is great. So you're going to hear me say this about other gifts too. But why specifically is the Lord saying, desire this gift and use it in love? It's going to be powerful. Number one, the prophetic gift encourages intimacy and closeness with God because it's a gift that's directly related to us having to lean in to hear. Like that gift, it's like, it just the gift itself is like, oh God, I gotta hear you. I want to hear you. I want to see you. What are you saying? What are you doing? And it's a gift that encourages intimacy and closeness. And our tendency is to drift. just, it's our tendency to drift, to get busy, to drift away from the Lord. And he's like, drawing us in, drawing us in, drawing us in. One of the other great things about this gift is God uses this prophetic gift to strengthen, encourage, and to comfort his people. I just read it. To strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Has someone ever come up to you and shared a word with you? And all of a sudden you felt like, oh my goodness, God sees me. That's what the prophetic gift operated in love does. It's like in a dark moment, all of a sudden you know God sees you. He's with you. I remember the simplest word given to me probably 13, 14 years ago. It was so long ago. Probably 13 years ago. And we went to the International House of Prayer for a conference. They had something called the prophetic rooms. You could go and they just like ask the Lord for a word for you according to this passage. It would be all strengthening, encouraging, you know, to build up the body. And so I was there, and Malachi was about 4 years old, and he had just been the year before diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. That was really hard on my mama's heart, like really traumatic, honestly. And what we had to walk through in the following years was so difficult. It was such a dark season, honestly. Just little guys suffering. So wrong. I hate the devil. I hate disease. We're believing for his healing. But I was in this room, and this young man came up to me, and he says, I see a picture of you standing in the kitchen. Which, of course, if you know, when you have toddlers, you spend your life standing in the kitchen. It's like your feet are permanently cemented to the kitchen. You feel like you're just cooking or then doing dishes or getting a glass of milk. You're always in the kitchen, always in the kitchen. And he goes, I just see you. And this is a young college kid. I mean, he doesn't know that alone just meant something to me. Like, God, you see me when I'm in the kitchen. Okay, so he says, I see you just standing in the kitchen. He says, and there's this little black lab puppy next to you. And he won't take his eyes off of you. He won't leave you. He's like by your side, this little loyal. I love labs too. I love dogs. And you know, like, oh, labs and golden retrievers, they're the king of all dogs. Honestly, they're so amazing. I mean, they're just such people, so loyal to their people. And he says, he just won't leave your side. He's just looking at you intently, looking at you intently. And then he says this, and he goes, I just feel like that represents the Lord. And the Lord just wants you to know, he's beside you. He's got his eyes on you. You're never going to be alone. I mean, I still have this emotion that comes with that word. I didn't go to the third heaven, you know. There wasn't an angel that came down and delivered it to me. But to this day, when I think about it, I am encouraged in my spirit. God, when I'm in a dark season, you've got your eyes on me. You're loyal to me. Like when I'm in the mundane, I'm in the trenches, you're never going to leave me. That is what the prophetic gift operating in love does to the body. I see you. God's like, I always want my people to know I see them. I hear them. I know what's going on in their life. Each of us, I'm sure, have stories similar to that. Can you see how the Lord would say, they all shall prophesy? Some will have special gifts of prophecy that they'll wake up in the morning thinking about prophecy. They'll go to bed thinking about the prophetic gift. They're just going to like, they're going to live and breathe it because it's their special gift. But all my people get to hear. And I want all my people to be encouraging each other with what they're seeing and hearing. It's such a great gift. You know, the third thing that the prophetic gift does is the prophetic gift brings clarity to situations. I've often felt like kind of confused, like, yo, what do I do? What do I do? And I come before the Lord and I say, Lord, one word from you. This is all going to be set straight. I know it. I just need to hear one word. What are you saying? What are you doing? I already know what's going on around me. What are you saying? What are you doing? Bring the clarity. And you know, the scripture says the same thing in this 1 Corinthians chapter 14, talking about the prophetic gift. In verse 7, it says, even lifeless instruments like the flute or the harp must play the notes clearly, right? Or no one will recognize the melody. When he's talking about the glory of the prophetic gift, he says, you know, the prophetic gift is like an instrument that plays the tune clearly. And when we start playing, you know, when those little ones, Malachi brought home a violin one day, many years ago, it was months before we could tell that there was a song being played. I was like, is that a song? Nope. Oh, that's a tune? Okay, nope, not yet. But there comes a day, right, when you learn the instrument well enough that you can tell the tune immediately. This is the clarity that the prophetic brings to the situation and to the body of Christ. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then the Lord will speak. He highlights a passage out of the scripture. He brings a word. And all of a sudden, I know my course. Clarity. The fourth thing the prophetic gift does is the prophetic gift coupled with intercession, which, by the way, wow, did they go together? The prophetic gift coupled with intercession brings breakthrough in the spirit realm. There are just certain times we can't get breakthrough without the Lord releasing a word to us for us to take before him in intercession. Years ago, we had something unfortunate that began to happen in Huron. We had a group of people who were, how could you say it? They were appearing like Christians, but they would be holding up signs at different places around town. Things like, everyone who's gotten divorced is going to hell. I mean, they said it a little more catchy. It was really bad, bad-spirited. Signs like, women shall be silent. That's your sign on the corner of Dakota. You have a message to give, and your message is, women shall be silent. That's your message to the whole world. You have one shot at saying anything to everybody. It's, women shall be silent, and if you got a divorce, you're going to hell. So, you know, of course, they had some scripture. You know, you can be a little right and 100% wrong. You just, my goodness. And, you know, at first you're like thinking, well, maybe these guys are well-meaning and, you know, culture of honor, right? Culture of honor. We, you know, just operate in a culture of honor. We tried to approach them one day. We were going to a movie and they were out there with their signs shouting, turn or burn, to people who drive by. And it was so bad. It was really cultic too. It was really like a cult. It was really, truly, and I don't throw that word around very much, really weird. Anyway, I tried to engage them in conversation, like, oh, we're Christians too. I mean, there wasn't anyone. You're not a Christian because you're not holding up this sign and you're speaking. I am talking, aren't I? I'm sorry. And you have a sign that says, women shall be silent. Oh, sorry. Oh, yucky, yucky. Well, where am I going with this? The prophetic gift coupled with intercession brings breakthrough. Breakthrough in the spirit realm means breakthrough in the natural realm. And the great thing about this was that a couple months before this group, unusual for South Dakota, hello, Huron especially, I had lived here for 15 years, only one time had a group like that moved into town. And they would go to like 4th of July celebrations and be there with their women be silent and you're going to hell, all divorced people signs. And Jeff had a dream though, a couple months before that, about this cult group that moved to town that used the legalism to get people in bondage. And they were disrupting the whole city in the dream. And the Lord gave him prayer points in the dream. I want you to, like, things to bind, I think, even a spirit to bind. Do you remember it?
Yeah, basically it was like in the dream I just found the spirit that was operating.
Yeah. Yeah, so he said he in the dream, he bound the spirit that was at work behind them, commanded it to leave the city. And so after this group, you know, is like kind of going around and getting a lot of notoriety, honestly, then all of a sudden Jeff remembers that dream. And I was like, oh, the Lord gave us what? He gave us this before it happened. He told us this was going to happen. So we just did exactly what the Lord told us to do in the dream. Well, over the course of time, the group had inner turmoil. Also, one of the precious wives of one of these guys all of a sudden fell in our lap to start ministering to. So cool. It was so cool. I'm like, I couldn't hardly believe it. Like, all of a sudden, she's there, and we're getting to minister to her and stand with her for the freedom of her family and for her husband. And then the group gets strife, and they basically kind of break up here. They move back to another state, and then their whole building gets set on fire and burns to the ground. And they're gone. They're done. I'm like, wow, the Lord kind of took care of that. I mean, the Lord kind of took care of that, didn't he? Could somebody give me a bottle of water? I know it's warm in here, by the way, guys. Sorry, we got the air conditioner fixed already once, and it already broke, like, within a week. So we need a new air conditioner. It costs about $14,000. So believe with us, we're going to try to get it repaired again this week. Anyway, diversion on that, just in case people are like, why are we having the door open instead of just turning the AC on? It's on. Sorry about that. All of you at home watching from your air-conditioned living rooms, we love you. Okay, I'm going to finish this up. The last thing the prophetic gift actually is a mobilization gift. It mobilizes God's people into action. That's what the now word of the Lord released does. It takes us from inactivity to all of a sudden, whoo, there's direction. We know what we're to do. Marching orders are given. The prophetic gift is a mobilizer in the body of Christ. It's so important. This gift is being used across the body by everybody. And then those that have that as the gift of the Spirit, this is like one of the special gifts that you are to focus on, not just prophesying encouragement, but really like a focus on it. Develop your gift. Develop your gift for the sake of the body. I am urging you, develop this gift if this is the gift the Lord's given you. 1 Corinthians 14:8 says this, going on, he's talking about spiritual gifts. Remember, he says, the spiritual gift of prophecy brings clarity. Because if you're going to play a song, the notes have to be clear, right? And then he says, it's actually a mobilizing gift too. It says, if the bugler doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they are being called into battle? He's describing the prophetic gift as the, you know, how they used to get up on the wall of the city and they would sound the alarm. The bugler would sound out the horn. And when everyone heard it, they knew we have to assemble for war. We have to assemble for battle. It was the call to mobilization. And he says the prophetic gift needs to be at use in the body of Christ because it helps mobilize us, give us direction. I love this gift. I love this gift in our church. I love how much we seek the Lord to hear him. And then I also see we haven't yet arrived, right? There's more. There's more clarity that we can operate in. There's more. We want to have freedom for you to experiment with the gift. You know, experimenting with a gift works well as long as you do it in love. It's when you're all prideful and feel like every word you give, you have to have a chip on your shoulder that it's impossible for you to be wrong. You get yourself into big trouble and humiliation. But if you're operating in love, you can't go wrong. I'm like, you know, I'm not 100% sure about this, but this is how I felt. I just want to give you this word. Share it with someone. Practice the gifts. Ask the Lord on a regular basis, would you give me something to encourage someone with in our church? Lord, who do you want to encourage? What Bible verse would you want me to give to somebody to make them feel extra loved by you today? You shall all prophesy. And some of you, it's a spiritual gift, specially given by the Lord, and it's going to be the main focus of your ministry. We're all going to do it, but some of us, it's going to be the main focus of our ministry. For years, one of the main focuses of my ministry was teaching dream seminars. I still have it all online. I don't teach them a lot now because I got so many other things I'm doing. And I've been able to get my resources out there on YouTube channel and my website, and it's pretty much all free. And so, you know, anyway, but for a long time, I have that gift. I want to grow in that gift. And it was the focus of my ministry, even, was equipping other people to hear God. That may be you. But even if it's not you, you are meant to hear the Lord and use your hearing from the Lord to encourage the body. Let's stand up right now. Chad, he's amazing. I didn't ask him to ahead of time. I forgot. I like to say that because then if he can't find a song or something, it's totally on me. It's not on him. It's me. I should ask him ahead of time. I forgot to. Thank you, Chad. He's going to lead us in some worship. And there's two things that I want us to do this morning. One, I want us to ask the Lord to grow in our ability to hear him. It's God's will for you to hear him. It's a journey of hearing his voice is a journey. Discerning his voice is a journey. It's a get it right, get it wrong, get it right, get it wrong. Get it right a little bit more now. Oh, got it wrong. But it's a journey. And there's grace for the journey. There's grace for you even to mess up. Totally, you know, if you do it in love and humility, there's grace though. So I want us to cry out to the Lord. I want us to ask him, open our ears, Lord. Some of you went through a dry season. You feel like you haven't heard the Lord in a long time. Some of you feel like I'm a little spiritually deaf right now. Let's just believe together for deaf ears, so to speak, to be open, blind eyes, you know, fuzziness of vision to be cleared up right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Right now, we just come before you, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would, God, that you would just increase our ability to hear you, Lord. God, right now, we just ask that we would die to ourselves, that we would throw away everything that's hindering us and blocking us from having deep communion with you. Thank you, Lord. I want you to make some declarations here with me. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I receive ears to hear. I receive eyes to see. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who is leading me into all truth. I thank you. The Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus Christ to me. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is helping me to operate in love. In the Holy Spirit, I have a gift. I receive your gift. I will use your gifts to serve the body. Whenever you ask. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel like the gift of prophecy is a gift that, as you, even as I was talking, or maybe in times past, you've just thought about this, you think it's a gift. Now, we all just said everyone can prophesy. But out of even that list of 23, when I say it, you felt like, I feel like that's one of the gifts that God's given me. I just want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Awesome. Yep. Yay, it's great. It's great. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your hand raised. And guys, just stretch your hands towards these one. You don't have to leave your seat or anything because we're kind of doing some social distancing, but the Lord knows. Just stretch your hand towards these one right now. And we just affirm the gift of God on those that have their hand raised right now. We affirm the prophetic gift. We say yes, whoa, and amen. And we just declare a grace, an increased grace for growing in this gift and developing the gift of prophecy. Lord, we ask for increased grace for love, increased grace for the use of this gift to build up the body of Christ, to strengthen and to comfort those around them. Lord, we bless you and thank you for those in this room that you have given this gift to. We honor the Holy Spirit inside of them. We honor the gift of God that was given to them. We say it is a good gift. It is a great gift. We bless them to grow in it. We bless them to be accurate, to be humble. We also give them permission to practice. Right now we declare, Lord, we just as a body, we give them grace to practice their gift, to not even to mess up. We give them grace to mess up as they're trying. Lord, we're just grateful you've given it, that gift, to people in our church. And Lord, we say, we agree with you. They can just practice, they can develop it, and we just support them in it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's worship.